Okay, that's better. Annyeonghaseyo. Good morning and welcome to you all. If you're worshipping with us for the first time, especially warm welcome, and we hope to get a chance to speak to you after the service. Tea and coffee will be served in the Mayo Hall as usual. Worship continues today at 11:30 and then again at 5 o'clock. Please refer to the notices sheet for details of events this week. Just to highlight a few though, the 24 hours of prayer starts on Friday at 6 o'clock in the morning and goes through to Saturday morning 6 o'clock. I think most of the slots are filled, but there's still a few gaps if anyone wants to lead a session. And please feel free to pop in and pop out of that event as and when you can. The Alternative Christmas Cards is running again this year. Ray Charlton is leading that initiative. Details are in the notices sheet, or you can contact him. It's a great way of sharing your Christmas message with everybody and also benefiting Christian Aid. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, there is a memorial service for the Reverend Peter Holmes. This will be at St. Peter's in Norbiton. Also at 3 o'clock, if you fancy something active, Sally is leading a nature trail. So she's already got a couple of the families who we work with joining her. But if you'd like to also go, they're mushroom hunting. So anybody fancy a few mushrooms? But speak to Sally if you're interested in that. On Sunday, the 12th of December, is the gift service. So it's the combined service at 10:30. So it's a gift and nativity. It's based on the story, The Impossible Promise. Sounds intriguing. And we're asked to come dressed up as a nativity character and to bring some new toys, which will go to WellCare for their work with families. The K3A Orchestra with the Harmony Choir are giving their winter concert at St. Andrew's Church on Sunday the 5th of December at 3 o'clock. There's a varied program of music, something I'm sure which would appeal to all tastes. If you need more details, please have a word with Ken or Liz Bartlett. Tickets are available from them or on the door. The bookshop is in operation after the service this morning. And finally, just news of a couple of people we need to remember in our prayers. George's parents are still unwell with COVID. The good news is his father's now out of hospital, but still recovering, and his mother is still in hospital. So it's an anxious time for him, being that he's so far away from them. And we also heard this morning that Barley was involved in an accident on her way to work and hurt her knee. We don't know the details yet, but please remember Rose and Georgie in your prayers. Thank you.
Let us join together to worship God and hear these words from the psalmist. The Lord is King. God is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. God is girded with strength. God has established the world. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are established. We join together to sing the hymn, which, if we need it, you'll find in the hymn books at 262, 2:62, crown him with many crowns. Join together to pray. Let us pray. And there were footsteps in the garden, and the voice said, "Why are you hiding from me?" Often, Lord our God, we have hidden from you. Often we thought we could get away with things. But you are God, gracious and loving, and yet powerful and ever present. And you call us to be your people in the world. You call us to live for the sake and the cause of righteousness, holiness, justice, to be people of mercy, and we confess that we have failed. We have judged, We have accused. We have been people of mean spirit, and we ask to be forgiven. Give us understanding as we discover your word, that we are citizens of a different country. Give us the courage to live as people whose ultimate citizenship does not belong here, but belongs somewhere else. You have called us by name, and each of us is your cherished child. Lord, we offer you our thanks, our praise, because you have brought us out of the deepest of pits, and you have whispered to each one of us our name, and to each one of us you have called us and told us that we are loved. So with joyful hearts we thank you. With full hearts we praise you. For we are your people, and we will sing the songs of the angels to glorify you. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. Everybody in the building, wave. Some people were waving even as I arrived. They're learning. They're like, hello, everybody at home. Wherever you are. No, over there. They're all waving. Good. Janine's keeping an eye on you this morning. Right. Something for us all to join in with. I've got some statements here. And they're all true or false. If you think they're true, I'd like you to either stand up or put your hand in the air. People at home can do that as well. And Janine can check whether you're doing it. And if you think it's false, just stay seated where you are. Okay, so here we go. You ready to play? Are you ready to play? First one is very easy. The capital of France is Paris. So if you think it's true, hands in the air or stand up. Yes, it is Paris. It is Paris. Okay, this next one, I confess I had to think about, which says something about me. 9 times 9 is 86. Nine times nine is 86. Is that true or false? It's false. It's 81. Thank goodness for calculators. The first female Prime Minister of the UK was Theresa May. No. Leslie, your favourite person? It was Mrs. T. Mrs. Thatcher. Yes, Margaret Thatcher. Okay. This one might have been a better question for the younger people in the congregation, but I'm going to try it. Justin Bieber, the American singer, was born in London. Is that true or false? Stand up if you think it's true. Do you know what? It's true, but he was born in London, Canada. Ha-ha! This is one of my favourite ones. Chocolate, or just chocolate, actually. Chocolate full stop is one of my favourite ones. Chocolate is made from beans. Hands up or stand up if you think it's true. Yes, it's made from beans, which means it's a vegetable, which means it's one of your five a day. The Bible books, Luke and Acts, were written by the same person. Yes, true. Christmas Day will be on a Friday this year. Are you sure, Bethany? You may want to rethink that answer. It's going to be on a Saturday. Okay, there are more wind turbines in the UK than there are in any other country. Stand up if you think it's true. Oh, some people think it's true. It's false. China has the most. That surprises me. Well, no, but I mean, anyway. Okay, Coca-Cola was invented before Pepsi. Oh, that's a 50-50. Split the congregation, split the audience. It's true. Coca-Cola was invented in 1886, and Pepsi was invented in 1893. Okay, last question. Last year, EastEnders star Maisie Smith won Strictly Come Dancing. Last year, EastEnders star Maisie Smith was the winner of Strictly Come Dancing. Yeah. Maisie Smith. How do you know? All right, how do you know it was met? Can you prove this? Can you prove it? Because I think it was Maisie Smith. It was Bill Bailey. But how sure were you about the answer? How did you know it was wrong? How did you know it was wrong before I told you it was wrong? Because the evidence was there. You could get your phone out, go onto YouTube, and the final would be on there, and you'd see that Bill Bailey won the final. What is truth? That's what we're thinking about. What is truth? Jesus once said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." What a joy to be following the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what we're going to be thinking about today. Amen.
Join to sing, "You Are the King of Glory," which you'd find at 271 if you need it, 271, "You Are the King of Glory." Stay where you are. Don't sit down. We're going to sing straight into majesty. Worship his majesty. We are, though, going to hear the word of God in Daniel and in the Gospel according to John. Today, traditionally, would be the day of Christ the King. That's the designation of this day, which is the day before Advent Sunday, which is the day, blah, 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 blah. So this passage is from Daniel chapter 7. Daniel, so let me just say this to you. Daniel's visions often come in the night when he's asleep. Do you pay attention to your dreams? So here we have these two passages.
As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was as white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed.
Sorry, I should have said that reader is Sue Shaw, and the next reading, which is from the Gospel according to John at chapter 18, which I suspect most of you will have worked out. It's a conversation between Jesus and Pilate. If you read the Gospel according to John, it can feel a bit like a play, in the sense that you get these characters who come forward, they have a conversation, and then they're gone. And this is like Pilate here. And Bethany Brealey will read this passage to us.
Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went to them and said, "What accusations do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." But Jesus replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the hall headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Pilate asked him, "So are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into this world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" This people, word of the Lord.
What kind of king was Jesus? What kind of king is Jesus? Here he is face to face with the man who has the power to take away his life in the cruelest of ways. And in the face of Pilate, he is silent. Any words that he uses will not clarify. It's almost as though he and Pilate are speaking different languages. It's like the metaphor that we get of heaven in Daniel. How would you describe heaven? Simple. You would use the language that you have to hand, the pictures that are around you. But if I say to you, it's easy to describe heaven. It looks like a zig. You would look at me quizzically and say, "Pardon?" And I say, "It looks like a zig." And then if you're wise, you say to me, "What on earth is that? Zig is meaningless to me. I can only describe something in the language that I have." For metaphor to work, though, both of us have to understand it. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So here in Daniel, we have a metaphor of heaven that comes from the whole world of empire. British people still have a shadow of empire in our lives, but it's a rubbish metaphor for many nations in the world. God, who is beyond our knowing, cannot be trapped in one metaphor. The other strand, of course, is to say that for some people it's a terribly unhelpful metaphor. Dreadful things were done in the name of empire. King and country did bad things as well as good. It's the same as using male language. We know that God is beyond gender and includes male and female attributes. We need to clearly state that male language and masculine pronouns for some are really unhelpful. So it's not king and kingdom. We know it's a larger question. Of what is Christ the king? If you say, if somebody said to you, "Of what is Christ the king?" and you replied, "Of my inner spiritual journey," then people would love that. They would applaud it. Even those people who weren't Christians would think, "Oh yeah, that's lovely. Isn't that lovely? That's a person trying to make themselves a bit better. That's just lovely, lovely, lovely." But it's actually a really pretty small vision. It's a child's view of king. If I am the king of the castle, when clearly you could push me off, then it's not kingship at all, is it? And what is the point of being a king if your kingdom is not in this world? What does his kingdom actually look like? And what does his kingdom look like when he comes face to face with the dominant culture of his time and says nothing? The one with all the political power. Jesus asks Pilate, "Are you asking me sincerely whether I'm the king? Are you asking me sincerely, or are you prejudiced against me because of what people have said about me?" I have to say that I find those intellectual jousts that people love incredibly wearing. I'm happy to talk to anybody about Christianity. I do it all the time. I do it in all sorts of strange places. That's how it is. But I am not interested, really, in talking to people so that they can prove to me just what a bright spark they are. And often, what actually is happening is people are trotting out the cliches that they've heard and they've half-baked taken in, and they've never actually examined, never given the time to really examine. So, the cliches like, religion, it causes all wars. Religion, it doesn't do any good. It just feeds hatred. Really? Talk to me about nationhood. Talk to me about the fact that the Second World War was not anything to do with religion, but was a war about an understanding of a nation. So, do we ban nations then? Never heard anybody say it. Religion doesn't work, doesn't do any good. So talk to me about the motivation of many of those who are involved as workers in the voluntary sector, for education and for hospitals around the world. Talk to me about food banks. Talk to me about street pastors. The values of Jesus' kingdom are vastly different from those in our world. We as a church working in the kingdom serve in humility rather than seeking earthly power. Why worry about earthly power? It will pass. Unless, of course, you are prepared to take earthly power and to use it for the work of the kingdom, which is the way for some people. God bless them, I say. How can we encourage them, I say. Let's pray for them, I say. But power for its own sake? No, that is not our way. Jesus is killed by the temporal powers. He is not one who is victorious over his enemies by defeating them in war. He is our leader, that is who he is. And by allowing himself to be killed and physically defeated, he demonstrates the ultimate power of love. Our faith has a God who is crucified, a God who knows what suffering feels like. If you've ever suffered, know God knows what it feels like. My kingdom is not of this world, says Jesus. Now, that has been taken to mean it's all about life and death and doesn't actually have any impact here at all. But that doesn't fit the core teachings of Jesus with justice for the poorest, for example. It's about food and human comfort for others. My kingdom is not of this world actually means it's very, very different. Not like things are here. It's out of this world, in fact. Jesus saying is his values are very different from the current system. We serve a king like no other. A king who is not seeking power or glory, but humble service for others. Consequently, we who identify as church need to be part of those who are humbly serving others. So what does kingship look like for Jesus? And what does kingship look like for us? What does it mean that Christ is our king and he's silent in the face of Pilate and then put to death? How does any of this change how it is for me on a Monday morning? Well, there's an anecdote about our current queen when she was a girl. Might not be true, but it's not disrespectful, so I'll share it with you. She's wandering round one of the royal estates and someone asks her who she is. And she replies, "I am no one, but my father is the king." I am no one, but my father is the king. I am no one, but my father is the king. Who are you? Who are you? Who do you serve? And how do you serve the one who is king? Let us pray. Eternal God, who invites us into a new kingdom and who assures us that it is already here, we rejoice in those moments when we know that indeed it is. We thank you for the deep moments of joy that send us reeling with gladness, for the knowledge of your love and your kindness to us, and the blessing of your strong and powerful presence in our lives. We thank you that though we must wait, sometimes painfully and long, yet the dawn is breaking, the new age is beginning, and we thank you that with you there is hope. Jesus, who announced to us the coming of the reign of God, all praise and thanks be to you. With God, the Creator, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join to sing, "God is love, his the care." If you're using the book, 274. 274, "God is love, his the care." So we join together to pray. Those of us Zooming and those of us in the building, we join our prayers with the prayers of the communion of the saints. So let us pray. Jesus, this morning we hail you as our King, King unlike any earthly ruler, a King who turns our ideas about monarchy and power upside down. All hail King Jesus, who rides on a donkey, who kneels with a towel about his waist and rolls up his sleeves. We pray for men and women in our world who have power, political power, for kings and emperors, prime ministers and presidents. We pray for councillors, leaders in local politics, and we pray for people who have power because of the businesses that they are in, because they employ people, because they decide how people's working conditions should work out. All hail to you, King Jesus, who lived in ordinary neighborhoods amid the bustle of life, whose friends are fishermen and unconventional women. For those whose power comes to their business, we pray. For you are the King who was a carpenter, who knew the struggle and the satisfaction of a hard day's work. We pray for those who cannot find employment, and for those who cannot find the right employment, and for those who cannot find employment with good conditions, Lord, we pray. All hail King Jesus, the King who laid aside his power, the King who was betrayed by his friends. We pray for those whose friendship relations are strained at this time. All hail King Jesus, the King who laid aside his power that we might have life in all its fullness. Pour out your Holy Spirit on the life of the church, that we would be people modeling your humble service. When we are gathered and when we are apart, that our desire would be to turn the world upside down, not with the use of force, but with the use of love. So we pray for those that we love on this day. And today particularly we pray for Rosette, and we pray for George, and we pray for his parents. We pray for all those who are far from people who they love, who are unwell. For Sugin, for Haejun, all hail King Jesus, the powerful one who rides on a donkey, who washes feet and dies on a cross. You are our King. You are the model and the shaper of our lives. Hear our prayers for ourselves. Train us and tend us, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. So let's continue our worship by making our offering. We know that most people give their money in the bank. We do have the facility to tap in the building somewhere. But for those who would make an offering in terms of cash, that offering will now be received. So let us pray. God of grace, we know you want justice rolling down like water. Accept these gifts from our hands, which we cast upon the waters of your love, a generous, ever-flowing stream, feeding the hungry and helping those in need. Accept these gifts for the work of your church. Lord, we pray. Amen. All people that on earth do dwell, number 712, we join to sing, 712. Thank you. So to the one whose goodness is without equal, whose love is beyond comparison, whose mercy is beyond understanding, and whose power is beyond words, be praise and glory, worship and thanksgiving, now and always. And God's people said, and God's people on Zoom said, and all God's people said,